Time to do the job. Time to do the job! Behold the jobber of jobbers. Daniel Jobber.
Money. What's up, everybody? This is the Edmonton Area's own D-Job, Daniel Jobber, here with the WWE Money in the Bank Review and Results Show. Most of my predictions, if you saw my preview and predictions video, didn't come true, except for Jinder Mahal retaining the WWE Championship. I mean, none of the other ones came true. So yeah, I didn't do a great job of predicting this one. It was different than I expected, although they went with a lot of the favorites that were predicted to win in the Vegas odds. I wish I could say this was a great pay-per-view, but I don't know, it really wasn't. It didn't impress me at all. I had much higher expectations, and the show had terrible booking, in my opinion, especially early on. They really started off terrible. They, in my opinion, really ruined the potential for a great women's ladder match with the ending. Ruined the tag team championship match, basically making both pointless. And I'll get into more detail to explain what I mean, but yeah, very disappointing with this match, with this card. It was a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view. Really, they should have considered this probably their best exclusive pay-per-view of the year, most important. And as I'm going to note a few times, for some reason there was no official representation here. Daniel Bryan, of course, is due back from his paternal leave on Tuesday for 205 Live, for SmackDown Live, pardon me. 205 Live comes after that. But Shane McMahon was not here, and that's a problem for me with the way they made it sound like, oops, this didn't go like we had wanted to, yet there's no one in attendance to help make it right. It made absolutely no sense to me. There was no official, intervention at all, just referees. So yeah, I was pretty disappointed with that. But anyways, let's get some of the details here. Don't want this to go on for too long, but yeah, not very impressed with this show in St. Louis tonight. So anyways, first off, the kickoff show was actually really good. The match with the Hype Bros back for the action for the first time since Zack Ryder got hurt. And they're really getting on with the crowd, even with Zack Ryder being gone so long. And of course, Mojo Rawley building his fan base or whatever. In the middle of the match, he was going to, I guess they were against the Colognes, I guess I should say. The formerly known as the Shining Stars, formerly Los Matadores, with the mask on. And of course, El Torito, the Bull. But anyways, they're now the Colognes, which is their family name. They're from Puerto Rico. Cousins or something of, the family that Carlito was from. All the Colognes. But anyways, early on in the match, or somewhere in mid-level match, but Mojo Rawley was pointing at one of the Colognes and going, "He ain't hyped!" And the crowd was chanting along with him, "He ain't hyped!" And of course, they went on for a couple of times there, showing that the crowd was quite behind the Hype Bros and enjoying the match. And it was a high-energy affair. And of course, the Hype Bros win with the Hype Rider in the end. I hadn't seen the Hype Rider forever, as the announcer noted. It was good to see. It was a pretty good match, good way to get people into the show in the kickoff show. I know some people aren't a big fan of kickoff show matches, but they are what they are. They get a chance to get a little bit of action before the show starts, and they're often pretty decent, straightforward, glorified house show style matches. So, but anyways, then we get to the main card, and it starts off with the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, the first ever chance to make history and give the women a chance to really steal the show and make it amazing. And it started off okay, pretty good. I mean, there's lots of use of the ladders and lots of exciting action. Good spots, even culminating to the point where Charlotte does a beautiful back flip onto a couple of the competitors. I can't remember who at this point because the match itself really soured with the ending. But yeah, the match didn't go on as long as it should have. And then what we knew was going to happen at some point, James Ellsworth was going to get involved. That really ruined the match, in my opinion, because Well, Becky Lynch was going to climb to the top of the ladder to get the belt and or the briefcase. And, of course, I knew she wasn't going to win. I mean, that was pretty much a given. And then as she's going to grab it, out comes James Ellsworth, takes her off the ladder, and he tries to go and wake up Carmella, who had just received... Let's see, what did Carmella receive? She got taken out by Becky Lynch. I can't remember the move Becky Lynch did to take her out. But anyway, she's laying on the mat, out of it. He can't wake her up. She's done. So he, you know, looks at the crowd, and amazingly enough, the crowd's all cheering for him to climb the ladder, you know, saying, yes, yes, yes. I saw all kinds of reactions in the crowd. So for some reason, they wanted him to climb the ladder, and I think we kind of expected it. So he climbs the ladder, unhooks the briefcase, and tosses it down to Carmella. And, you know, I thought that was pretty cool, but I thought, you know, hopefully they don't end the match this way, because, you know, that's not a way to end a Money in the Bank ladder match, especially not this early. I wanted it to go on, you know, it was only... maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes at that point, and there was still plenty of room for more action. And, yeah, they blow the whistle, and then nobody does anything, and then the refs are outside the ring talking, one ref saying, restart the match! But I guess the other two referees didn't want to do that. And then, you know, amidst this controversy, James Ellsworth and Carmella go out of the ring, she's still holding the briefcase, and James Ellsworth grabs the mic and goes, you're winner of the first Women's Money in the Bank match, Carmella! And then they leave the ring victorious, and then they go to the commercial, and it's like, here's a complete ridiculous ending, and they just let it happen. And where was Shane McMahon at this point? Tweeting from somewhere that this wasn't quite the way I envisioned the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. It's your most important pay-per-view of the year for SmackDown. Why were you not there? Why didn't you come out and say, we're not going to have this? It's the rules... Maybe the rules clearly state that you have to, the fighter has to climb the ladder and grab the briefcase, not have it tossed down to them or something. I mean, yeah, they didn't break any rules, as the announcer said, but they didn't follow the rules either, which I would expect to say you have to climb the ladder, grab the briefcase, not somebody climbs the ladder for you and tosses it to you. So, I mean, they could easily have said this match is not an end, not over because of this, put the briefcase back up and let's continue. But no Shane McMahon. Most important pay-per-view of the year, and he decides to take it off. Wonderful. Really good leadership the SmackDown Live brand has. And I mean, I know why Daniel Bryan wasn't there. He's still finishing the last days of his Pat leave, and he's coming back on Tuesday. Shane McMahon should have been there in his absence. That's what good bosses do. No? So this match is ruined, in my opinion. It wasn't a terrible match, but it was ruined by terrible booking and a terrible ending. So Carmella's Money in the Bank. Women's Money in the Bank. Mrs. Money in the Bank, if you will. Wow, at that point I'm like, well, what a terrible start to this pay-per-view. They didn't even give the women a chance to compete with the men, really, by ruining the match that way. And, of course, you'll find out later on the men really stole the show anyways. But they could have given the women a chance to do something really amazing and made the first women's Money in the Bank ladder match absolutely amazing. And they just blew it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I didn't like it. I could pee on that match all day. It was just not enough. Pointless ending. Should have gone on. Maybe even Carmella would have won some other way. I would have been fine. Or found another way to do it without actually breaking that rule if they would have restarted the match. I'd be fine with it. The way they ended that match was just James Ellsworth grabbing the briefcase and tossing it down, and that's the end. Terrible, terrible ending. So anyways, then we get on to the Tag Team Championship match between the Usos, the champions, and the... Who are they up against again? I have to think. Gotta write this stuff down. Against the New Day. The New Day! It's a new day! Yes, it is! Oh, St. Louis! Don't you dare be sour! The New Day are coming out to get ripped off. This is a pretty good match. Pretty good tag team match. The Usos had their moments. The New Day really took it to them. The New Day looked like they might even have a chance to win, and then the Usos decide they're just going to leave. They walk out of the ring, grab their belts, say, that's it, we're done, and just keep walking. And then, as of course, they're grabbing their belts and heading away, the bell rings, and this match is a count-out. Your winners, the New Day. I mean, I know it's not the... I understand count-outs, but for champions to decide to just leave the match. I mean, it's been done before, but, like, in this day and age, when you usually have, you know... wrestling officials coming out and saying, we're not going to let this happen. They let it happen. They walk out of the ring. They get counted out. They retain the titles. pointless to have a match if you're going to have an ending that isn't an ending. It's like, okay, we're done. We wrestled for a while, and that's it. We're done. We're just going to go be champions somewhere. Where was Shane McMahon again? He should have come out and said, look, you guys, I'm not going to have it that way. Back in the ring, this is now a no-count-out match. You're not going to walk away from a title match on my watch, which, of course, he wasn't watching. Another terrible match. Another terrible ending. Absolutely pointless to me. So at this point, I'm like, this is one of the worst pay-per-views I've ever seen. It, with all this potential and hype, they started out making this one of the worst pay-per-views I've ever seen. I was appalled. Boy. And then, I can't remember if it was here or if it was after the women's championship match. It was after the women's championship match that I'll get to that moment after. And then it's the women's championship match. Naomi defending the women's championship match against Lana. This match really surprised. Lana really held her own well. I mean, she looked a little clumsy, as some people pointed out, but she looked like a wrestler. She looked like she belongs on the roster, so I think we're going to see a lot of Lana. Her training, I guess, went well in NXT, and her house shows, she's ready to go. I think we're going to see lots of Lana going forward, so that's pretty exciting. And she looks like she pretty much took the match to Naomi the whole way, and looked like she might even win. But while she was getting close to trying to, you know, to seal the win. Oh, I should mention that both of them hit their finisher. Lana hits her rear view. Naomi hits her rear view, and Sasha hits her sit-out power bomb move that she's working on. Anyways, neither one gets the three count. And just as Lana's about to set up to try to get a win, out comes Carmella and James Ellsworth with the Money in the Bank briefcase. They go over to the timekeeper, tease that they're going to cash in. But no, they're not going to cash in at that point. They say, no, we're waiting. So they sit there and they watch the match. And Lana does a few more moves. And then Naomi reverses it into her submission hold. She had won her last match with or whatever it was. And Lana's forced to tap out. And Naomi retains the women's championship. I guess I did predict that part, sort of. But I also predicted a cash in by actually Natalya, who I thought was going to win the Money in the Bank. But at this point, I really predicted Carmella was going to cash in. But Naomi's pretty much full strength, appears to be, you know, well on her feet, ready to wrestle some more. So Carmella doesn't cash in. At that point, I knew Carmella wasn't going to cash in, because generally you cash in when the champion is down and out, and that wasn't one of those moments. So Carmella walks away with her briefcase and James Ellsworth, and Naomi retains the title. So it wasn't a bad match. It was a pretty good match, but it's opportunity to cash in and make a little bit of history in Women's Money in the Bank match, and they end it in a way that doesn't allow that. So whatever. It was a match, and it was a decent title match. Still didn't make the pay-per-view that much better than what it had been, but at least it had a good decision at the end. So then we have a little surprise segment. We have, I shouldn't say surprise, I'd mentioned that they were in the area, but that they're going to be at the show, but Michael Bennett and Maria Kanellis come out, and they're now the Kanellises, because Maria Kanellis introduces herself as Maria Kanellis, but then Michael Bennett says, I'm Michael Kanellis, because I guess they've got married and they're in love and they found each other. She found her love of her life or whatever, and they have this little beautiful lovey segment and come out to 80s kind of a love ballad music, later 80s, and make the spectacle of them being in love, and I guess they're going to be on the show now, or SmackDown Live. I don't know a lot about the Kanellises, so I can't really say much, you know, to add to their legacy, but I guess Maria, I think, had been on WWE before, and they're now back, and I guess we're going to see lots of them on the show, another mixed man and woman group. I'm almost starting to think there could be a mixed man and woman or mixed tag team division. Although I think The Miz and Maurice would be part of that, and they're on Raw. But yeah, you got Cena coming back with Nikki Bella still around, and you got James Ellsworth and Carmella, you know, mixed tag team, or mixed man and women duo starting to become popular all of a sudden. Anyways, just a interesting segment of people, talent added back to the roster. And then it's another filler statement at that point. Yeah, the Fashion Police were talking about how they were trying to figure out who trashed their station, and of course they get a call, or they find a videotape, and the videotape shows two silhouetted figures saying, you want to know who trashed your station? It's us. Come to the ring and we'll show ourselves. And so they say they're going to go and meet them for a match later on. Anyways, it was just a segment. There was another segment in here too that was filler. I could be wrong. There wasn't anything too exciting, I don't think. So anyways, I'll go on to the WWE Championship. Jinder Mahal Alberta's own, Calgary's own, Jinder Mahal defending the WWE Championship against Randy Orton. Randy Orton gets his rematch, and of course, Jinder Mahal has the Singh boys with him. And decent match. The fans, or whatever, heard people were kind of found the match a little boring. Randy Orton and him didn't really have the high-speed chemistry that they were hoping for at this point. The Singh boys really don't do a heck of a lot for much of the match. Just back and forth. Randy Orton seemed to be taking it to Jinder Mahal this time, unlike the first time where Jinder Mahal was a little more the aggressor. And at some point, Randy Orton has Jinder Mahal down, and he's doing his smashing the ground move, ready to do his RKO. And he hits the RKO right by the ropes, goes for the cover, 1-2, and the Singh boys help Jinder Mahal get his leg on the rope. That's all they do. That's all they do in the whole match, the Singh boys, is help Jinder Mahal get his leg on the rope. And the ref breaks the count, because they let him know that it's happening. And the ref, stops the count and just kicks the Singh boys out of the match. Like, they've done one thing. They put his leg on the rope and they kick him out of the match. Weird. Pointless. I mean, I've seen matches where the heel does all kinds of things, or it looks like they've done all kinds of things and they don't throw him out. But the Singh boys don't leave. Because earlier on they'd shown, there was always a word that it was in St. Louis, it was Randy Orton's town, that his dad was going to be there, East Cowboy Bob Orton. And so they showed previously there was a bunch of legends in the front row, to keep East Cowboy Bob Orton company. And even Ric Flair was there, and just all the old legends that are, famous for wrestling in St. Louis. And of course, the big one that was meant to be there is East Cowboy Bob Orton, Randy Orton's dad. And the Singh boys don't leave when they're kicked out. They decide they're going to distract Randy Orton more by picking on Cowboy Orton. So they go and they start picking on him. Ric Flair looks like he's going to stop it, but really doesn't do a heck of a lot. And then Randy Orton sees it and comes out of the ring, and he just tears up the Singh boys. Beats the crap out of them. And, of course, Jinder Mahal at this point is nowhere in sight. And it's like two-minute segment, and the ref's standing outside the ring, and the whole time he's not counting. Like, when people are out of the ring, don't you normally count? I mean, even in a title match, isn't there like a potential for countouts? Shouldn't Randy Orton be thinking about having to get back in the ring and break the count every now and again or something? They're out there for minutes at a time, and there's no countout. I'm like, what the heck? This is stupid. I mean, you can't just go out of the ring and beat the crap out of somebody for all this time in a match that's not no disqualification, no countout. Ridiculous. It's like made absolutely no point whatsoever. So anyways, after Randy Orton finishes beating up the Singh boys, Jinder Mahal is back in the ring. He goes back into the ring. Once again, Jinder Mahal catches him with the Colossus and gets the 3 count and retains the WWE Championship. Justice served, because really that match should have been a count out anyways. There's no way Jinder Mahal should have lost the WWE title in a match where Randy Orton went crazy and beat the crap out of people outside the ring for that long. So, justice served. I was happy. That's what I predicted too, was Jinder Mahal retaining the title. And because in St. Louis, it's Randy Orton's town. You don't usually see, as per Vince McMahon, baby faces winning in their hometown, or anybody winning in their hometown for the most part. So yeah, all the hype and the hometown crowd and his daddy's Cowboy Bob Orton in the front row, and of course Randy Orton loses and fails to regain the title. What it should be. That's usually the way it goes. So, but really, I mean, except for the ending and the result of Jinder Mahal retaining the title, even this match wasn't that good, and then the booking and the ending, just, the whole card at this point is just a train wreck. It's like, this show really needed Shane McMahon to come out and get some kind of order, or show that somebody's in control, or something. And it just, there was just nothing. And I was thinking this is one of the worst pay-per-views of the entire year. I mean, like, there was just nothing good. And then, so they have, then finally the Money in the Bank ladder match, the men's match. Well, it salvages it, I'll say that much. It was one of the best ladder matches I've seen. And it was different segments of it, and it wasn't, the greatest spots in all history of wrestling in a ladder match, but lots of great spots, timing, and just the way they put it together. This was a really well-booked match. And, of course, the result, surprising in a sense, but not surprising in another sense. And I'm going to get to that and have a little more detail on this one. Right off the bat, of course, everyone's entering the ring separately with their entrances. But then Shinsuke Nakamura comes out to his music. Baron Corbin attacks him from behind and beats the crap out of him and basically takes him out of the match. And so it's going to be a five-person Money in the Bank ladder match from that point on. So they go in the ring, and I'm going to go into a few key spots. It was a really good ladder match. I mean, there's lots of good action. You want to watch this match. If you're going to watch anything in this card, maybe watch Jinder Mahal retaining if you really want to, and then watch this, and you could pretty much skip the rest of the card. It just wasn't that good. I mean, I guess maybe you might want to watch the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match for the history of it. But But anyways, early on, the match goes on, and once again, pretty decent ladder match, but I guess I'll just highlight a few key points, and then I'll get into a little more detail near the ending. At one point, Sami Zayn power bombs Dolph Ziggler from the top of the ladder. That was beautiful. Big power bomb right from the top. And these are like 10-foot ladders. That's a dangerous move to do if you don't do it right. So very well done for Sami Zayn. Crowd is pretty happy, although you know, Dolph Ziggler has a pretty good fan base too, despite his bit of a heel run. It was a while after that, AJ Styles hits a phenomenal forearm, kicking Sami Zayn off the ladder. Sami Zayn's climbing, and just out of nowhere, big, phenomenal forearm. Beautiful. I mean, only AJ Styles can do something like this, because it was, I mean, that's his thing. And right off the ladder, beautiful segment there, too, or beautiful spot there. And a bit later, AJ Styles and Kevin Owens are battling it out on the apron, and it looks like, forgot to mention, Kevin Owens at one point makes a ladder bridge between the apron of the ring and the barricades. That's important for this next segment here. So anyways, Kevin Owens creates this, and a bit later AJ Styles and Kevin Owens are battling it out on the apron, and looks like Kevin Owens is going to do his powerbomb on the apron, a move he's used to take out other people, but AJ Styles counters him, picks him up on his shoulders, and actually does a move pretty much like John Cena's attitude adjustment onto the ladder bridge, crushing the ladder bridge and basically crushing, destroying Kevin Owens in the process, because he never really recovered from that. Beautiful. That was pretty exciting. And this was just for that too, AJ Styles actually chokeslammed Baron Corbin on the ladder bridge as well, so they used that ladder bridge very well in this match. But anyways, this breaks the ladder bridge, breaks Kevin Owens. He never really recovered from that match, and he was my prediction to win it, so it was too bad that we didn't see more of him in the end, but he did have one more little moment left, and I'll get to in a moment. Anyways, AJ Styles then goes into the ring, climbs the ladder, but then Dolph Ziggler pulls the ladder out from under him as AJ's grabbing for the briefcase, and AJ's left hanging. Literally and figuratively from the cord, and it looks like he's trying to unhook the briefcase as he's hanging there, and he can't, so he climbs a little higher, trying to unhook it again. At this point, he's just pretty much hanging on for dear life, trying not to fall, but he climbs as high as he can, and then he realizes he isn't going to get anywhere. He kind of lowers himself a little bit towards as low as he can, and drops onto the mat below. Good 10, 12-foot drop. Wow, it looked pretty intense. I'm glad AJ Styles knows how to fall, because that could have easily injured many of us. Falling from that height onto the ring, so. But it looks like he's alright, and of course he is alright, because we do see him later on. And there was another breathtaking moment. You don't see the guys hanging from the cord as often as, you know, maybe we could. And I don't think I've ever seen anybody, hear of anyone ever unhooking the briefcase while hanging from the cord. Maybe that's something a really coordinated athletic person can do in a ladder match one of these days. Anyways, then Baron Corbin grabs Ziggler, Ziggler's the one who pulled the ladder out from under AJ, if I didn't make that clear. And he's all, you know, pleased with himself and smug. And then Baron Corbin grabs Ziggler, pulls him out of the ring, throws him into the announce table, and then Baron Corbin goes into the ring. But then as he's about to climb the ladder, Shinsuke Nakamura's theme plays. Shinsuke Nakamura's back in the match, and I guess he decided to have him play his theme song to announce that he's back. Anyway, Shinsuke comes in, and you know, Baron Corbin, you know, sunsets the ladder, tries to throw it at him. Totally misses. Shinsuke Nakamura goes in the ring, starts kicking the crap out of Baron Corbin, hits the King Shasa to take him right out of the ring, and then Nakamura goes on a rampage. He King Shasa's Dolph Ziggler from the top rope, top turnbuckle, and then he King Shasa's him again, sends him out of the ring. Sami Zayn comes in, and he gets King Shasa'd, and Nakamura just totally cleaned house, but now he needs a ladder, because there's no ladder in the ring. So he climbs out and goes to grab the ring by Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens is half dead, crawling on the ground, and he grabs on the ladder, and he makes him drag him along, refuses to let the ladder go. Finally, Shinsuke Nakamura gives up on that, and he climbs out of the ring, and he hits the King Shasa on Kevin Owens, getting him off the ladder, and basically finishing him off. We never saw Kevin Owens again. So disappointing we didn't see more of Kevin Owens down the stretch, when he would have been one of the guys who would have represented the Money in the Bank briefcase well. And then Shinsuke Nakamura throws the ladder in the ring, climbs into the ring, and he sets it up while the camera's totally fixing on a close-up of him. And then when he's done setting it up, the camera goes back to a wide angle, and there's AJ Styles on the other side of the cage, the other side of the ladder, and they're facing each other, and they're basically in a standoff, because neither one knows they can climb the ladder without the other person being taken out. And so they battle it out back and forth, and And then I think Shinsuke Nakamura bounces off the corner trying to do a Kinshasa, but AJ Styles does a flying forearm, taking him right out and knocking him to the mat, and they both lie in the ring for a second as the crowd's going, "This is awesome! This is awesome!" And then AJ Styles sort of gets up first, starts to climb the ladder, and then Shinsuke Nakamura does the same, and they climb to the top, and they're battling it out on the top of the ladder as the fans are shouting, AJ Styles, Nakamura, AJ Styles, Nakamura, repeatedly. And they're battling it back and forth and trying to see who can get the briefcase. But then out of nowhere comes Baron Corbin, tips the ladder over, knocking both of them off and out of the ring. And he climbs up, unhooks the briefcase, and becomes Mr. Money in the Bank, just as the prediction was. But it pretty much out of nowhere, because Baron Corbin had been nowhere to be seen until the moment where he came in and spilled Nakamura and AJ Styles off the ladder. So out of the blue, great way to have a predicted result happen without anyone being able to expect or predict it. Because it all happened pretty fast, and in the midst of all the excitement over Shinsuke Nakamura, and that was a good match. That was a good ending. That was a darn good Money in the Bank. And I think, you know, if I had to choose a second choice over Kevin Owens, it would definitely be Baron Corbin. Because even though he's still fairly new, he's a really good heel, really good talker, really good arse kicker. And I think he'll do a great job brandishing the Money in the Bank briefcase and keeping the champions on guard. For the next, however long it takes him to cash in. No way to know if it's going to be sooner or later. But anyways, yes, your winner and Mr. Money in the Bank, Baron Corbin! So that was a really good match, and that basically salvaged the pay-per-view for me. Before then, I was going to give this thing a D, E, I don't know. I was really disappointed, very upset and disappointed with this booking this card. But with this match, I'm going to give it a C-. I think this match really salvaged the pay-per-view. It's a shame that they said they didn't give the women more chance to live up to this. But it was all about the men in the Money in the Bank ladder match. And I mean, I guess that's the name of the pay-per-view. That's what it had to be. It had to be the main event that sold the show. Just disappointed. They had so much else they could do with this. Had so much potential. And I know I was so excited and looking forward to a great card beginning to end. Oh, excuse me. And it just wasn't meant to be. So yeah, it's what it is. Anyway, just to recap the results, we have the Hype Bros defeating the Colognes in the kickoff match. We had Carmella and James Ellsworth basically cheating for all extents and purposes to win the Money in the Bank ladder match, with James Ellsworth climbing up and tossing the briefcase down to Carmella, and no one there to put a stop to it and make them continue the match. And we had the Usos leaving the Tag Team Championship match and getting counted out to retain their titles. Ugh. We had Naomi retaining her Women's SmackDown Tag Team Championship with a submission hold over Lana in a pretty good match and showing from Lana. And Carmella teasing a cash-in but not actually doing it. And then, of course, we had the Kanellises come out and introduce themselves and announce that they're on SmackDown Live now. And then, of course, we had Jinder Mahal retaining the WWE Championship against Randy Orton. In the midst of Randy Orton going crazy and taking out the Sing Boys and basically not paying attention to Jinder once again, going in the ring, getting hit with Jinder Mahal's Colossus and getting pinned for the 3 count. And then finally in the Money in the Bank, I didn't even mention the, I totally forgot to mention the filler match that I had set up before with the Fashion Police trying to find out who had trashed their studio. So it was before the Money in the Bank ladder match, right before, after the WWE Championship match. The Fashion Police go to the ring, and then out come the Ascension, and whoosh, pretty much all the excitement over that build up towards who trashed the studio is gone, as Connor and Victor come out and very much a typical match you'd see on the kickoff show, but I guess I had to get a little more mileage out of it and end an ongoing segment on the show, on SmackDown Live. And I don't even remember that being that good of a match. I basically, this is your chance to really go to the washroom and grab your new beer, because it was just a filler match. They decided that you take a match that would normally be on the kickoff show and make it a filler match. But at least, I guess if you want to say something, the Fashion Police, who I thought would get a match on the kickoff show, got a match on the main card, even if it was only against the Ascension, and it was just a filler time filling match. As I said, I'm going to give this show a C-, thanks to what was salvaged by the Money in the Bank ladder match. It's one of the better ones I've seen over the years, so... Yeah, if you got a chance to go back and at least see that, I recommend that. The rest of the card, it's really up to you. If you know the results, you may not even need to watch them, because they really weren't anything out of the ordinary or anything really super exciting or anything like that, so... Well, anyways, I'm going to leave it at that. That's Money in the Bank for this year, the SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view from St. Louis. Once again, I'm Danimal Daniel Jobber, the D-Job from the Edmonton area. And this has been the Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber, WWE Money in the Bank review and results show. Thanks for jobbing out with me this evening, or whenever you're watching it on YouTube, or listen to it on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Of course, these shows are always brought to you by the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. I always have my shows alongside such great podcasts as Mike the Ref's own The Blown Call and his shorter show the Quick Calls. Of course, great wrestling action with CWC Evolution and RCW Breakout, and of course the Sound of Struggle podcast with Chris Parrish and Maniac, Maniac's blocked me on Twitter, so I still have one to pick with him, but that's besides the point. But anyways, watch us on YouTube, on iTunes, on Google Play, and on the awesome cellular app Podbean, and of course, whatever way you watch us, make sure you thumbs up, like, subscribe, leave us comments. We always tell us what you want to see, tell us you want to see more of this or that. Communicate with us. We always love to get feedback from our audience. And when you realize we're as awesome as it gets, make sure you go to whatamaneuver.net, or now, of course, you can go to my page on danimaldanieljobber.ca and get exclusive merchandise from the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network, and, of course, the official Danimal Daniel Jobber merchandise, like this T-shirt I'm wearing. And, support us that way. And, of course, it comes also in long sleeve hoodies, shirts exclusively for women and younger kids, and of course a baby onesie to start your baby off right as a little jobber. So yes, go to the whatamaneuver.net and get official Danimal Daniel Jobber merchandise and be part of the Jobber Squad. So anyways, I'm going to wrap it up with that. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Daniel Jobber, capital D, capital J, and Instagram, Danimal Daniel Jobber, all lowercase. Of course, this is on YouTube, on my Daniel Jobber YouTube channel, so check it out there as well if you want to see the video version, if you're listening to the podcast at this point. Hope you enjoyed Money in the Bank. I can't say I did, but I was glad to see the final match was at least lived up to its expectations. And hope you guys have a wonderful day, evening, morning, whatever time you're watching this. Just wish you all the best. Jobber out!
Time to do the job! Behold the Jobber. Daniel Jobber.